Okay, we were in chapter 12 of Revelation. I want to back up a little bit. I don't see Sandra this morning. I think Sandra was the one that asked the question last week about this war in heaven. And at that time, I remembered some things that happened over in the book of Daniel, but I didn't want to say anything because I was afraid I'd mess it up. So I went back and did a little review of that. And we'll just make mention of this very briefly this morning. Let's see, where was that? That was down there. Can't hear. Well, I got it up there pretty far. Well, okay. A little shorter. You need a little volume there, Wayne. They said they can't hear me. It's probably a good thing, but anyway. Where was that? This is talking about the devil when he went and warred up in heaven. Okay. That's in verse 7. Okay. We're in Revelation chapter 12, and we're in verse 7. Okay? Now, this is talking about, this is the second part of the book of Revelation, and we're dealing specifically now with the upcoming things that are going to happen to Rome specifically. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along, too. And this is the story about the old red dragon, and it goes in and identifies him as being Satan, of course. And then he identifies this this woman, and this woman is about to give birth. And we talked about the woman. Who did we say the woman was? Well, not Mary. This is the believers from all time, from the Old Testament. We're talking about Israel, physical Israel, and then about halfway through, when he starts to persecute the woman, we're talking about the church. Okay, so this is believers. From Old Testament, New Testament, okay? That's basically what we're talking about. We're talking about this woman here. And this devil is trying to prevent Christ from being born. And we talked about all the incidents, listed a lot of those from the Old Testament and some of the incidents from Christ's life where Satan tried to prevent him from accomplishing his will, even down to the death on the cross, thinking that he had won that battle, okay? And so in the midst of all that, verse 7, after all it said about the Christ there, the child was, he was born and then ascended to heaven. It doesn't tell us anything about his life. But of course, we can read all that from the Gospels. We know about those. So at the end of that, though, in verse 7, he says these words here. Now there arose in heaven Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, I don't know if you remember, but back when we first started talking about the book of Revelation, I told you back then that everything we read is not in chronological order. Okay? And I mentioned that last week. I believe it was Sandra that asked that question about this war in heaven. Just because it said that he went to heaven after Christ went up there, the devil had already been cast out of heaven, had he not? Okay? What I want you to do is go over to Daniel chapter 10. We didn't study Daniel before we did Revelation, but I always like to look at Daniel first because a lot of the things we see in Revelation we see over in the book of Daniel. Okay? So, chapter 10, we're going to start about verse 12 there. Now, what we've had here is that Daniel had seen a vision, and angel came down to give him some interpretation of that vision. But I want you to see what he says in there. Verse 12 in chapter 10. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael," where did we see him before? Over in Revelation. But Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days to come. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spoke, and I said to him, who stood before me, "O my Lord, by reason of my vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and the breath is not in me. Okay? Again, on having the appearance of a man touch me and strengthen me, and he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my hands speak, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you not know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. Okay? Now what do we see here? We see a battle going on. Okay? But now when we talk about a battle in heaven, a war going on in heaven, what do you think? They're shooting guns at each other, or maybe bows and arrows? Is God shooting bows and arrows at the devil? What do we mean by war? You know, have they got nuclear weapons? It's a conflict, okay? What is a conflict with? It's good and evil. What do we know about the devil? Yeah, he represents evil, and he wanted to be the king of the hill, didn't he? Okay? And so he set out and waged war trying to take over the power. Okay? Of course, he didn't succeed. Okay? Now, we're not told in either of these when that war took place. And so what I said, this is not necessarily chronological. This is probably and maybe, don't take my word for it, but maybe the same war that's referred to over in Revelation chapter 12. Okay? The idea is it doesn't matter when it happened. Okay? It doesn't matter. The idea is what? God triumphed. Okay? And the devil tried and he failed. Okay? And he was cast out. Okay? And then a little bit later on, it says, Woe to the earth, because he's come down to you. Okay? You remember over in the book of Job, when it starts out, it says God was there, and who shows up on the scene? The devil, okay? And what was the situation there? What was the devil doing? Yeah. Job was walking, or the devil's walking around, you know, and God was talking to him about, you know, different things, and he says, Have you considered my servant Job? Well, you've got a fence around him. I can't touch him, you know. And so, you know, basically told him, Take your best shot, you know. Well, what we need to understand here is that the devil did not create anything. The devil did not create anything. And he was walking around on the earth. But why was he here? Because he was cast out of heaven. Okay? So when we talk about the Satan, we're talking about a being with, he was rebellious, and he has limited power. Okay? And what do we say about that power? You remember? The only power that Satan has over us is what? The power that we allow him to have. Okay? So that's why I wanted to go back and mention that, because we talked a little bit about it last week, and I wanted to go back and check those things. Before we went any further. But there was that battle over there in the book of Daniel. And he said basically that battle was with the kings of Persia, the princes of Persia. Now who was Persia? They're the kingdom that the Medes and the Persians, they're the ones that conquered Babylon, and they're now ruling. Okay? Well, in that vision that Daniel received, he saw two goats. One with one big horn and one with four horns, with two horns rather. And the vision was that the goat with the one horn represents Greece. And what happens with Greece? What do? Alexander the Great. They go in and kick the Persians out, okay, and then they become the rulers of the world, okay? And then later on, who comes on the scene? Remember the four-part vision in Daniel of the statue? Yes, the Romans. Nebuchadnezzar, Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And what happened during the Roman Empire? Christ was coming into the world. That was the key. That was the sign that they would know that that the beginning of the kingdom of the church was beginning to start. Of course, it starts on Pentecost, but that was the beginning of it, okay? So he was waging a war against the princes of Persia. Well, what kind of a war was he fighting? Bows and arrows? stones, slingshots, what kind of fight? No, it was a battle of right and wrong, okay? And so they were on their way out. That's what the battle was. You know, they served their purpose, and they were on their way out. The Grecians are coming in, okay? Same's going to happen to them a little bit later. But that's the kind of battle we're talking about there. So I just wanted to kind of clear that up for us as we went along. Okay, where did we get to here? I got to get over a little further. Some of this we've already talked about, but we'll just kind of read a little bit here. Let's start in verse 9, and we got down a little further than this, but this will bring us up to date. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil. That's where we find out who this dragon was. The deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Now that's where we get the concept of this accuser. What was he accusing people of? That he'd been thrown down. His sin. Okay? When people sin, what happens? What happened in the garden? Separation, okay? What is sin? Sin is rebellion against God, okay? And that's why man was put out of the garden. He could no longer come face to face with God, okay? God still had a relationship with man, but not face to face, okay? And so now he's saying about this devil, he says, now this great accuser, okay, has been cast down. Well, what transpired to cast him down? We talk about this war, but what was that war all about? The battle of good and evil, okay? Well, how come the good won out? What happened in these verses just prior to that? We had the male child being born. Okay, he was brought into the world and sacrificed, and he's back at heaven. So where is he in heaven? He's sitting at the right hand of God on his throne. Christ is now ruling. Okay, you're going to come across all types of ideas out there that Christ is not ruling in this world today, and he won't rule until the second coming. Okay. That's completely contrary to the Scripture. The Scripture says over and over again that his kingdom has come, okay, and that he's ruling right now. Okay, so those people that say that, they need to go back and read their Scriptures. Christ is ruling. And it says, because of that, this serpent who was accusing people of their sins, okay, and he was correct in his accusations, was he not? Okay, but basically, when you sinned, what came between you and God? Sin, okay? Your sin, okay? What happened on the cross? What was the purpose of that blood being shed? To wash away our sin, okay? And so the Scripture says now, okay, the serpent has been cast down. That ancient accuser of men, when he says to God, oh, that's a sinner right there, he belongs to me. God can say what? Not anymore. Not anymore. That blood has washed him clean. Those sins are gone. Okay? You see how this is good stuff, isn't it? Okay? We sometimes forget and take for granted the blood of Jesus. The blood is essential to salvation. The blood is what washes away our sins. Okay? Now, I'm not going to get into a preaching session here, but how do you contact the blood? You got to be in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Through baptism. Can you prove that? You better believe you can, because the Scripture says it. As many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay. And then that blood is made available to you. Okay. It's not that hard, is it? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Okay. But that's what it's all about. That's what's transpiring here in just these few verses. The devil no longer has any power over you. He can accuse all he wants to. But if you've been washed in the blood, no, sorry, Satan, it belongs to me. Otherwise, we would all belong to Satan. Okay. This was a plan that God started way back over in the Garden of Eden. Okay, way back there in chapter 3. Okay? All right, where do we stop? Verse 11. My numbers are real small here. I've got to find it. Okay, 11. And they have conquered these, I'm talking about these people here, they have conquered him by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. And that's when the book of Revelation was written. It was written to comfort these people and encourage them that we need to remain strong and you need to remain faithful, because some bad things are happening to them now and they're going to get worse. Okay, the Roman persecution is going to be stepped up. And he says, if you're not strong in your faith, you know, then you know, you might lose it. Okay, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time has come. Okay? So now, we've got Christ seated on the throne. We've got the devil cast out. The gospel plan has taken place. The salvation has now come. All right, now let's read a little bit more in verse 13. All right. So when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman. Okay? Now, at this time, we said the lineage of Christ came through the Hebrews. Okay? That's why they were a chosen nation, a chosen people, in order to bring Christ into the world. Okay? But there at the cross, that ceased to be. They were no longer. It's only the spiritual Israelites now. And you could be a spiritual Jew, okay, and be part of this, but it's those who are spiritual. These are the Israel now. Okay, these are the ones. So who is the devil after? He's after the church. Okay? So if we're dealing with the time after the cross, we have to be dealing with the church. Okay? Because that physical Israel, their time has ceased to be important. So now we're dealing with the spiritual Israel, which is the church. So what's the devil doing? He's going to pursue them. All right? Now we're dealing right in that short period of time after the crucifixion and ascension, okay? So basically we're dealing with the time in which these people were living. Okay. Now that still applies today. All these things still apply today. But these people, what was important to them was the time that they were living with. So in the early years of the church, what was Satan trying to do? He was trying to destroy it. Had a pretty good agent in a certain Pharisee, didn't he? A guy by the name of Saul. And Saul was going around creating havoc, wasn't he? And he was killing people and destroying churches and doing everything he could. Okay? In all honesty, Saul was probably the most sincere person in the world in what he was doing. Because he had been raised a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, remember? He was a devout Jew, and he thought everything he was doing was correct. What happened to him? Yeah, he saw a light on the road, didn't he? Okay, and, you know, basically he went, uh-oh. But when he saw what was right, he changed like that. Okay, he changed like that. And he ceased being a persecutor and became an advocator. Became an advocator. But one of the most fearful opponents of the early church were the Jewish nation. They were great opponents of the early Christian. They called it, it wasn't called Christianity then, it was called the Way. You know, because it was different than what they taught. It's different than what they believed for 1,500 years, you know. And now all of a sudden overnight we've got this new movement, and this guy comes down here claiming to be the Messiah. And he starts this new movement. They were intent upon wiping it out. And they were just as sincere as Paul was. Okay, so it had to be some kind of revelation for them in order for them to change their ways. Okay. And now the old devil is going to enlist the aid of Rome. Okay, we'll see that coming up here in a minute. Now, as we read through these things and we see that, we're talking about Rome. But you can make an application to that in every age in history, to every government that's ever ruled. Okay? And we'll talk a little more about that as we go on. Okay. Okay, verse 12, 14, is that where we got to? Oh, yes, the dragon, verse 14. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. Okay, talk a little bit about these eagle's wings. You ever come across eagle's wings in the scriptures before, in the Old Testament? Where do we see eagle's wings? Every time we see eagle's wings, what's going on? Somebody's being rescued. You know, God's, that usually, when they crossed over the Red Sea, remember he said it was like the eagle's wings and they passed by on dry ground. I wrote that scripture down somewhere. Exodus 9 and verse 4. Okay. As they were being delivered from Egypt. Okay. So he talks about the eagle's wings. There's about 10 or 11 other references to eagle's wings in the Old Testament. And each time it was someone being delivered. Okay. So the woman who represents the church now, Christianity, she's been given eagle's wings. And where does she go? To a place of refuge. They called it what? The wilderness. Okay, the wilderness. Where else do we see a wilderness in Scripture? Yeah, well, Jesus went in there for 40 days to be tempted, but where else do we see in the Old Testament? You know what? Israelites went into a wilderness. Why did they go to the wilderness? What happened to them? Yeah, they came to the mouth of the Jordan ready to cross over, and they sent in those 12 spies. Remember that story? What happened when the spies came back? Yeah, 10 of them came back and said, man, we can't do that. We're like grasshoppers. Those guys are giants over there. And only two gave the good report. And God said, because you've refused to believe, okay, you're not going to be allowed to go in at this time. So they went in and wandered around in the wilderness down in that desert area for 40 years. Okay, but what happened while they were there? He took care of them. How did he take care of them? He fed them. Fed them manna. Yeah, they're still eating that manna. Yeah, water. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't wear out. The only thing that happened was the first generation died. Those that refused to go over, except for Joshua and Caleb. Okay, the two that said, gave the favorable report. They died. Okay. And then they come back and God says, okay, now let's cross over. Okay. So that's the other instance that we have there. So what it is he's sending the church to the wilderness, figuratively, but what's going to happen there? He's going to take care of them. He's nurturing the church today. He takes care of us today, just like he did the people in the wilderness. Let's read on a little more, and then we'll talk some more about this. I'm gonna put my finger on where I stopped. Okay, all right. Verse 14. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured out with its mouth. Okay? Now, that one I have trouble with sometimes. I read several different commentators about what this water might have been. And the one I liked best was Burton Kaufman. And he basically said, this is the lies, the blasphemy, all the evil things that the devil does in the world today. You know, you look around you at all the things that people believe and all the things that people follow after, and they're gullible by following after. He was doing that to the world in general, but specifically the church, okay, in order to destroy it. Okay? And it's still going on today. We've got all kind of isms in this world today. The idea of evolution, humanism, you can just go on with all these isms you want to. Well, what are those things? They're ideas of man, you know, concerning how he views things. Okay? But if they don't correspond with what's in here, then that's what they are. They're humanism. And those are works of the devil. He's using those things to try to attack the church. Okay? And so I thought that was a very good explanation for what's going on here. But even in this, it says that God protects them. And it says here that the world swallowed those things up. Now, I had to think about that one for a minute. But do you know of anybody in the world that's preaching Gnosticism today? Existentialism? Any of those isms? What's happened to them? They've pretty much run their course, haven't they? Okay. That's what I see as far as the world swallowing these things up. Somebody said once... it was Eisenhower, I think, was in office at that time, back during the Red Scare, when I believe his name was McCarthy, was preaching the Red Scare all over, you know, and Somebody said the wisest thing that President Eisenhower did was nothing at all. And the reason why was because he blew off all his steam and it just went away. And if he'd have raised some opposition, it would have, you know, back and forth, and they'd have had a boxing match, so forth. So sometimes, you know, we just let these things run their course. We know they're false, but that doesn't mean we have to go out there and do battle with them. I mean, it doesn't hurt to do battle with them if it becomes necessary. But God's truth is going to prevail. The church is going to prevail, you know. So we oppose those things, but that don't mean we got to put on our gloves and go out there and, you know, do face-to-face battle with them. See what I mean? So I think that just the world knowing that we don't agree with those things, sometimes that's enough. Okay? All right. If y'all got something to say, now say it. Let me do all the talking here because I'll ramble on forever, but we're certainly open to comments. Okay, I said I was going to put my finger there, but I didn't. 17. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, and he stood on the sand of the sea. Okay? Now, who are we talking about here? Did war on the rest of her seed. That's not hard now. Think about it. Huh? Talking about the individual members of the church. He couldn't destroy Christ. He couldn't destroy the church. So he's just going to take us on one-on-one. Okay? And that battle goes on every day. Every day. All right? So, like I said, we're going to deal in detail with the battle with Rome, but as I said, those things still apply today. The devil has never changed his mind. He's still working the same way. He has no power over us other than what we give him. But what do we know about the devil? He walks around like what? A roaring lion, seeking somebody to devour. He is clever. He is deceitful. Okay? And if he can get you to believe his lies, he got you. Okay? So that's why it's important for us to know what's in this book. That's why it's important for us to know how to live our lives. Because in the wilderness, when Satan tempted Jesus, what was Jesus' answer to him every time? It is written. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You know, that's right. That's what it is. Okay? So we need to understand those things. And we don't have to be scholars, you know, PhDs or whatever. Anybody can understand this book. But it takes some diligence. It takes, you know, it takes a little time to study it and to learn it. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, every time you pick it up and look at it, you're going to learn something new. Every time. Okay? All right. All right, so that kind of brings us to the end of chapter 12. Anybody want to make comments or remarks or have any questions? Boy, I must be doing a good job. Everybody's got it, right? I'm being sarcastic. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. You're right. And that scares me.
What I don't understand is how the teaching views in the church. For years and years, they've been all of a sudden turning back on the Lord.
Well, me too. Well, obviously there's not enough studying going on. You're right, it is. That does scare me, and the reason why is because if they can do that, I can do that. Okay, so that's why he tells us be on your guard at all times. You know, don't let your guard down anytime. And when you start thinking, you know, everything's fine, you know, I got it, no problem, that's when you're most vulnerable. Okay, so just remember that. Okay. We ended verse 12 there by saying that he stood on the sand of the sea. Okay, now the he, I don't know if that's John he's talking about there, if he's talking about Satan. I think he's talking about Satan, but it doesn't matter because we're going to see some things happen now because in chapter 13, the devil is going to enlist a couple of allies. Okay, this is where we're going to bring Rome into this thing. But as I said, it's not just Rome. It's any government in history that is opposed to God. And we'll bring that into our discussion as we go along. Okay, so let's read a little bit here. Read about this first beast here. Verse 1, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea with 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 diadems, and its horns, blasphemous names on its head. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear. Its mouth was like a lion's. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. On its head seemed to one of his heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it? Okay, let's read on a little more. The beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it, everyone whose name was not written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with a sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith to the saints. Okay, this is the first beast. This is the first one that Satan enlists the power of. Okay, all right, so we're dealing in this time period of the first century church. Okay, so who would this beast be? Can you imagine anyone that he might have enlisted to help him with his battle against the church and their followers? Okay, it's obviously Rome, okay? But there's something interesting in here. That's why I said that we can make other applications to it. I should have mentioned this when we were reading back over in the other chapter. He talks over there about the 3.5 years. Remember we said that 3.5 years represented what? Anybody remember? The time in which we're living right now. That this is the time of, what do we call it? What do the millennials call it? The tribulation. This is the time that the millennialists refer to as the, I got it right. I said millennialists. I missed it that time. I never can say that word. They say this is the time of tribulation, okay? And they refer to it as the 7 years sometime in the future. But we're living in that time period right now, okay? From the first ascension, or the first time Christ came to earth until the next time he comes to earth. We're in that time period. And that's that referred to as 3.5 years, 42 months, referred to as 1,260 days. Those are all the same thing, okay? So, what we see in this idea of enlisting the help of this Rome, of this beast, and it has the 7 heads and 10 horns, but it says in there he gives a time period. And what is the time period? He's allowed to assist here for, anybody see it there? We read it. 42 months, which is 3.5 years, which is 1,260 days, which is the time period in which we're living right now. Okay. So I think that when John wrote this, it applied to Rome because there were no other governments at that time. Rome was the big power. But what about now? We're still in that period in that 3.5 years, that 42 months applies to us right now. So what do we see in our world today? What about China? Well, But we're not to the point where we were. You cannot even have a church over there, Christianity over there. What about North Korea? What about Russia? Okay, what those doing is they're suppressing Christianity. All right. Now let's think a little bit about what Rome did, and Satan using Rome, and how that is still being done today. Okay, what was going on in Rome? Why was the book of Revelation written? Because he wrote to those seven churches, you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. Remain faithful. In other words, dig your heels in. Persevere. That's what it's all about. And so now we're going to talk about what Rome was doing. We've already talked about it some. Okay. Main thing was it came in with Domitian. Was what was Domitian demanding? That you worship him. He claimed to be the deals. He claimed to be God reincarnated. He says, we deserve to be worshipped. That, it was that way with all of the Roman emperors. They, after they died, they were all considered to be some kind of God. But that was after they died. Domitian didn't want to wait. He says, I want it right now. And so what basically they were doing was they were being forced to pay homage to Domitian, and later emperors also, and they had statues erected all over the Roman kingdom, and people had to go and burn incense at those altars, those statues, and pay homage to Caesar as being God. Okay, well, what happens when that happens to a Christian? You're being given that edict now from the throne in Rome, says you've got to go to this statue and you got to burn incense and pray to Domitian. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay, that's it. And that's what they're being told. This is going to happen. It's coming. So get ready for it. Okay? So when they did not do it, okay, they didn't get their name written down in the little book. Okay? You didn't get the golden star on your head, whatever the case may be. I'm being facetious here. But they took away your ability to earn a living. Many times they took away your home. Okay? Sometimes you were persecuted even to the point of death. Okay? You couldn't buy and sell in the marketplaces. Okay? Almost like having a COVID vaccine card, isn't it? I'm not going there. I'm giving somebody a hard time. But it's similar to that. If you didn't have this okay, this little check mark by your name, you couldn't do these things. You know? So how are you going to live? How are you going to get by? How are you going to feed your family? Well, that's when faith in God comes in, doesn't it? You just got to say, I guess God will take care of this, you know, and dig your heels in and, you know, and wait it out. But that's what was happening. So Satan, it says he's given to this beast his authority. And by worshiping the beast, by worshiping the Roman emperor, you were in essence worshiping who? Satan, okay. What about the world today? What about these nations that say, you can't worship that God? That's outlawed. Can't do it. Well, it's trying to. It's on the way.
There was. Most people don't know, but there was in Houston 2 or 3 years ago. The city council put on their ballot provision to require all preachers to submit their sermons to the council.
Yeah, and be approved before they could preach them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but just the idea that it keeps coming up, you know, it's just a matter of time. You're correct. That's going on in our world today. What we're saying is what happened in Rome, it hasn't stopped. It's still going on. Okay? And so we need to be aware of that. We're fortunate in this country. We're very fortunate in this country. What would you do if you were in China? Yeah? Underground? Yeah? Every time you met the worship boy, well, you'd have to post a guard somewhere, wouldn't you? And say, here they come, let's go. You know. Mm-hmm. Now, your uncle, Aunt Faye, what was his name? Yeah. He went over to China. He was actually a missionary, but he didn't go as a missionary. He went as an English teacher. Guess what his textbook was? So he was allowed to do that, but he couldn't preach, but he taught from the Bible. Okay? That was kind of clever. Okay? But you have to find ways to get around it. They'll throw you in jail. They'll send you home, spank your hand, whatever the case may be, to try to keep you from doing that. It's oppression is what it is. It's religious oppression. Okay? And we don't know how fortunate we are, but we're only about that far away from it if we're not careful. Okay? Because there's always someone out there that wants to be treated like a god or wants to have people bow down to him. They're just out there. That's the way it is. So we need to be very careful about those things and make sure that we speak up when we can, that we encourage people. We need to encourage people that are living in those countries as best we can, because they're all over. I think a lot of those Asian countries over there, I don't know how it is over in those Arabian countries, but they just soon kill a Christian over there as they would look at him. They think they're doing their duty when they do that. Okay. So this is what's going on in Rome. And this is why John was writing this letter. He's telling these people, get ready. It's bad now and it's going to get worse. Okay. And we're not going to go any further with this right now, but we're going to talk about this second beast next time. Okay. There's a lot of different ideas of what this second beast is, and we'll present some of those ideas and talk about them, okay, so that we can understand a little better. But the ideas are the same. What applied then applies today. Okay? Same principle. So let's just keep those things in mind. We're going to stop right there and not go any further. Does anybody have anything to comment about? Y'all are too easy. I can tell you anything and you'll believe me. No. Okay. All right. Listen, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your attention. Look at this second beast, okay, and see how it aids the first beast, okay, in doing the devil's work. Now, what is the devil doing? He's lost in heaven. He's lost with the church. So what's he doing? He's attacking every individual Christian. Okay. And I'm telling you, he doesn't need to attack that stranger out there in the street, does he? They're already out there. He's concentrating his efforts on you and you and every one of us. Okay, that's who he's concentrating on. So just keep that in mind, that he doesn't give up on you. Just because you went in that water of baptism doesn't mean he's going to give up you. It means he's going to accelerate his attempts. Okay, so just keep those things in mind. Okay, we'll stop right there. Appreciate your time.